Thanks, Tim. I think there's going to be a bit of overlap in what I wanted to share a little bit about today. I'm going to share from Zechariah chapter 4. It's not a long chapter, and hopefully and go through the entire chapter fairly quickly here. I was encouraged by this chapter over the past really couple of weeks. A few of brothers have gotten verses, texts from me on this just because I was blessed on different days by what was prophesied here and just applying it to my life. So I'm going to just start reading in Zechariah 4, chapter 1. It says, "Then the angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who is awakened from his sleep." And this is not the main point of what I want to share, but I was encouraged. Even in that first verse, it can seem inconsequential. But as I've been even studying in Ephesians and other chapters, just the thought of having our heart enlightened and our eyes enlightened, that's been on my heart a little bit over the past months. As like, Lord, enlighten my eyes, enlighten my heart to understand your word, to hear what you're saying, to know a little bit what Tim's sharing about, like how to walk. And I just like this example here of the prophet Zechariah. I don't know that he was actually sleeping, but what he was saying was that when the Spirit of God came to him, it was like he was woken up. He was woken up. God had a message for him. God was going to speak something to him, and it woke him up. And I've been praying a little bit, and the same things in my heart, like, God, if you got a message for me, if you got areas that you want to speak to my life, wake me up. I want to be one who's waking up out of his slumber to hear from God and to hear what he's saying to me and the directions you're leading me. And I'm not, oftentimes it's just in very practical areas of our life where all of a sudden we get woken up. We realize, man, that's not the right way to walk. God's got a better way for me to walk in this situation. And so even in this first verse, I was encouraged the way that Zechariah was roused by one as a man who was awakened from his sleep. So now he's awake and now he's going to hear a message from the Lord. He says, "He said to me," this being the angel that roused him, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with its bowl on the top of it and its seven lamps on it, with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps, which are on the top of it. And also two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side. Then I said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it.'" And I can say this was one of the verses I was texting to others. So over the last few weeks, that verse that we've probably all heard before, but it was just fresh to me. This, "not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And if you read the context of what that is, it's, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but if you go to the book of Ezra and read about what happened there, it's an amazing story that the Ezra, Zerubbabel and Joshua are stirred up to start to begin rebuilding of the temple. They've been given the decree, but I think it was Cyrus who gave them the decree to go back and begin to build the temple. And there's so much adversity, so much difficulty in it. Like even when they start, it's an interesting story. They start and they lay the foundation of the temple. And I'm going to get to that in the coming verses here. But they lay the temple, the foundation, and some are rejoicing and others are weeping. And the ones who are weeping because they remember how glorious the former temple was with Solomon's temple. They had seen it or knew of Solomon's temple. And they're seeing this temple that Zerubbabel starting, and it made them weep. And I was just thinking about that, like thinking about being in his shoes, about starting this project. And the beginning is so humble and so small in the sight of those who have seen the former that they're actually crying. And I'm just like, this is how the project starts. Some are rejoicing, which is wonderful, but others are actually crying because it seems that it's just the glory isn't there. But that's not how God sees it at all. And then it goes on, and they've been given the instruction by Cyrus to start to build this. But then some in the land who are opposing them send a deceiving report back to the king who's in place at the time and say, this is a rebellious city, stop working. And so the king actually issues a decree and says, stop working. Stop working. This is against the rules. And I'm going to basically, there'll be consequences if you keep building this temple. And so they stop. And that is when, that's the time when Haggai and Zechariah, the two prophets, come after that period of pause, after the temple work has stopped. That's when these prophecies are coming. That's when this prophecy comes. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It comes after the start has come and people have wept. It comes after the king has come and said, if you try and finish this, there'll be consequences. God comes to Zerubbabel and says, Zerubbabel, you're going to build this temple. And it's not going to be by your strength. It's not going to be by your might, but it's going to be by my spirit. And I was just encouraged in pondering that. I can say that even practically speaking for me, over the past weeks, this verse has come to mind for me in the face of little difficulties that come along. And I am not, I don't think this has to be some great calling of the Lord that we apply it to, but it has to be the situations where we come to the end of ourselves, where we feel adversity, whether we feel fear. Maybe the enemy is coming and trying to bring fear to us and saying, you're in a situation that the outcome is not going to be good. God's not going to help you. You may have thought you had God's help in this, but he's not going to help you. Or maybe there's other situations where it just seems like too big of a task. We've just looked forward and it just seems too great. Because I can imagine that was the case for Zerubbabel, thinking about how he's going to build this temple in the midst of all of his enemies. Solomon started the temple built upon the wealth of David. Solomon built his temple in a time when the kingdom was prospering. The kingdom had built up tremendous wealth through David's conquering. They had peace on all sides when Solomon built the temple. And Solomon came in and did it under a position of power when the kingdom was greatly strengthened and everyone around them feared Israel. Zerubbabel was not building in that situation. He was building in a situation where the Jews were returning as exiles to their own land and had no riches, no wealth, and they were by no means a powerhouse in the area. There was the whole kingdom was inhabited by strangers, not the people of God, who were trying to oppose them. And this was the situation that Zerubbabel was trying to build a temple in. Not built on a bank, or not built on a massive bank account of gold built up from his father, but rather built on a poverty and built on a place where he didn't know. I would say he didn't necessarily know where the resources were going to come from to help him complete this project. But what he did know is that God had called them to him. He had seen God do a miraculous work in stirring up Cyrus's heart to send them back to build this. And now as the work is going on and the task is difficult, as the road is challenging, he's getting these prophecies coming from Haggai and from Zechariah saying, Zerubbabel, keep going. Keep going, but it's not going to be your strength. All of this lack you see, all of this insufficiency that you see is not because God's not going to plan here. It's not because God's not going to do this, but because it's not going to be by your might. It is not going to be by your strength. And I think each of us, I encourage you, because it's encouraged me, when we get in those situations where we see our own insufficiency, where we see our own weakness, remember this verse, that it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God we need to help us, to empower us to do what God asks. It's not that the task won't be accomplished, even though it seems great. The task will be accomplished if we walk in faith and believe, but it's not going to be by our own strength and by our own might, but it is going to be by the Spirit of God helping us, empowering us, strengthening us, as Tim shared, by walking in step with the Spirit. Thank you, Hudson. That is how we can find the victory. That is how we can see something that seems impossible come to pass. And for me personally, over the past couple of weeks, it's been a wonderful promise to reflect back on in the daily little circumstances that come where it's just like, man, I've been here before. I know how this goes for me. I know the way I've handled this before. I don't know how it's going to change. You say, no, not by my pipe, not by my power, but by the Spirit of God, this can change. This can go differently this time, and it can be by the work, and it will, by trusting in God and seeing and allowing him to work in my life. And it says, What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. So this great mountain of building the temple, which is actually an even greater thing to think of, leveling a mountain, it's far greater than even just building the temple. The Spirit is saying to Zerubbabel that it will become flat before you, Zerubbabel. This mountain is going to be made flat, and you will bring the top stone upon it with shouts of grace, grace to it. And you can say that, you know, whether exactly what that means, is definitely means the blessing of God. The blessing of God has brought this top stone. The blessing of God has completed this project. It has not been my strength or my power, but when we see it happen, we will have nothing to say, but it is God's grace that has brought this about. It is God's blessing that has brought this victory about, because it was not my strength or my power, but it was God's blessing. That will be the cry when the top stone comes in. There'll be shouts of that when the temple is finished, that God's grace has brought this about. And then it says, and also the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And I just think about that promise. Like, it's interesting. Like, Tim talked about humility, and it is the cornerstone of our walk with Christ. But I was encouraged that God had promised Zerubbabel, that Zerubbabel, this task that I've given you, this task that I've started, you will finish it. You will finish it, Zerubbabel. Your hands have laid the first stone, and you're going to see the last stone laid. And what does that look like? Why does that stir me up? Because I think we can apply that to different areas in our life. As God has given us a task to do in the face of adversity, we can know that if it's by his hand, he may take us through weakness, he may take us through challenges, but his hand will allow us to be strengthened to say that, you know what he's started, he will finish. And I can think the most broadly speaking is the promise that God, who started a good work in us, will complete it. The work of God's salvation in our life. But other places I can see it is in my family. When we deal with adversity in our families, we can look back to God and know that if it's our desire to seek him and to do his will, he will help us. He may take us through valleys. He may take us through difficulties, but we can know that God desires that the tasks he's given us by his Spirit — I'm not talking about building a kingdom for ourselves or building things for our own reputation, but the tasks he's given us by his will for our lives, obeying him, serving him, laying our lives down for him — those things we can apply and say, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, and his hands will finish it. God will help us. There will be a completion of that which he has called us to. We will get to see the outcome. And I was just encouraged by that promise. I was encouraged thinking of how God and Zerubbabel, in the face of all of this adversity, in the face of this difficulty, in face of the people questioning and not seeing the glory of what was going on, in the face of all, try to do this in the midst of your enemies without resources and without the storehouses, not without seeing directly in front of you, how is this going to get done? God said, Zerubbabel, you are going to finish it. This job will get done. And he used the prophets Haggai and Zechariah to encourage him in that. And then it says, verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth. And I was encouraged by that verse in the New Living, so I'm just going to read it here as well. In the New Living, Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin in the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. And so if we see God working, if we're asking the Lord to work in our lives, as Tim said, if we're seeking to walk according to the Spirit, if we're seeking to have God's direction and have his leading in his life, do not despise the small beginnings. We may want to see great changes. We may want to see God do significant things in our lives or in the lives of those around us. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, because God himself was rejoicing to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. God was telling Zerubbabel, it seems small, it seems insignificant. It may seem like there's no way this thing could actually get done, but God was rejoicing to see Zerubbabel start. God was rejoicing to see Zerubbabel take that first step of obedience to start the building of the temple, to lay the foundation. And even though it seemed very small, God did not despise it. And God's command was that day of small beginnings not be despised. And I encourage each one of us in that, as we desire to be changed, as we if we have areas in our lives where we see we've come up short before and we desire to be desire to see God change us and help us and grow us in these areas, don't despise the day of small beginnings. We need to, even if the start becomes, even if his start is to make us weak, to realize that we're not going to do this in our own strength, we need to know that God sees it, God's rejoicing in it, and he will help us. Even if it's an insignificant start, even if it's a minor start, even if it seems like we're making slow progress, God rejoiced. The spirit and the eyes of the Lord were seeing Zerubbabel make this start, and they rejoiced in it. And I was encouraged in that, as we see, just perhaps we're coming back to God again saying, Lord, I'm back here again. I'm back in the same situation again, and I need your help. God doesn't despise it. If our heart is to be changed, if our heart is to move forward, if our heart is to overcome, then God does not despise it. He does not despise the day of small beginnings, but rather he rejoices to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. God rejoiced to see Zerubbabel getting it started. And I think it's also just important to note that it's interesting, this whole prophecy that is here, it can seem, and I can't say is that I've had the Lord help me knit it all together, but some of the pieces have been knit together a little bit for me. It's like he sees this prophecy at the beginning of the lampstand and the seven spouts, or the seven spouts on the top of the lampstand, and then the two olive trees. And then immediately it transitions into, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power, but by my spirit. But we start to understand this a little better, because it says these seven, and I believe it's speaking of the lampstand. It says these seven are the eyes of the Lord, and they're observing. So the lampstand, if we can say the lampstand or the eyes of the Lord searching throughout the earth, and I would go so far as to say the eyes of the Lord are the Spirit of God. And I go there because we can read about that in 1 Corinthians, where it says, the Spirit of God searches. The Spirit of God is searching. The Spirit of God is observing. The Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. And the Spirit of God, if it's in us, knows the deep things inside of us as well. The Spirit of God is searching and observing. And in this case, the Spirit of God, the seven eyes, are observing what's happening here, and they are rejoicing. So why does Zechariah see a lampstand? Well, because the Spirit of God is with Zerubbabel. The Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God sees what is happening. It's stirring up the people. It's saying, Zerubbabel, the Spirit of God, these seven eyes, they see, they're observing, and they're rejoicing to see the work started. Don't give up. Don't start in the face of adversity. Don't give up. Keep going. The very Spirit of God that's going to help you is observing and seeing and rejoicing in the work you're doing. Do not give up. Keep going. It's not going to be yourself. Then I said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left? And I answered the second time and said to him, what are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the golden oil from themselves? So he answered me saying, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. I'm going to share my thoughts here. I was encouraged, and you can ponder on it and reflect on it for yourself, what I came with here. But I was just seeing here two things. He said, first off, we see in this vision, at the start, he sees two olive trees. And then again, he says, but now he says, not just olive trees, he says he sees olive branches. And then at the end, we get the conclusion. It says, what are these two olive branches which stand behind the two golden pipes which empty the golden oils from themselves? So now as he's looking closer, he's seeing that these olive trees, or their olive branches, actually emptying the golden oil into the from themselves and into the lamp. And then it says, these are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. And I had to reflect on this, and I was wondering if this wasn't talking about Zechariah and Haggai. It doesn't say it clearly. God wants his prophets humble. But it is, what is happening is these two olive branches are emptying golden oil. They're emptying golden oil that's fueling the lamp. They're emptying the oil into the lamp and providing light. And what I see is just these olive branches are actually feeding the lamp. They're feeding the work that the Spirit is doing. And if we turn actually to Ezra, I'll maybe just finish up here. Ezra chapter 5, it says, when the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and in Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who is over them, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them, encouraging them in the work that God was doing, pouring in the oil. Encouraging them, telling them, don't give up. If you read, I haven't read all the way through Zechariah. I read through Haggai. I've read the first five chapters of Zechariah. There is so much encouragement there. There is exhortation. There is rebuke, but it is mixed with encouragement. It's mixed with God saying, you're mine. You're my people. You're small and you've been through exile and you've been felt abandoned for 7 years, but now I'm with you. I'm working. I'm going to build through you. I'm going to see this through to completion. And I just see that as, for me personally, as I read about this oil being poured out, this anointing oil coming from God, but being poured out, I just saw it as the encouragement that these prophets were giving. They were speaking the word of the Lord, but it was an encouragement to the people to keep working. Keep going. Don't give up. And I had to think for myself. I'm not going to say that. I mean, there is a very specific calling in what was happening with Haggai and Zechariah. And to say they were the two anointed ones, potentially, that it was talking about hearing God's word and sharing it with the people. I think that's not a stretch to say that. And I'm not saying that each of us is called to walk in that and be specifically prophets. But I do see what was speaking in my heart was just this ministry of encouragement, this ministry of saying, don't give up, this calling that they had to say, don't despise it. It's a small start, but keep going. God's going to do it. And it was this encouragement they were giving was like golden oil. It was like golden oil flowing into the work that was happening and saying, don't give up in the face of adversity. Yeah, we got this letter. The letter's come back from the king to stop. The king's saying to stop building, to stop worshiping. But don't stop. Keep going. You can ignore that, guys. Just God has started this work and he's going to finish it. Keep going. And within not too long, I mean, they have to go through adversity, but within not too long, God opens the door. And then all of a sudden the work becomes truly prospered by God. Darius goes back and searches after the second letter and sees, you know what? Oh, you know what? At first it seemed like all of these, foreigners in the land are right, saying this is a rebellious city and the work should stop. But then he goes back and actually researches the records and sees that Cyrus was stirred up to say that the temple should be built. And actually, instead of having giving authorization to hinder the work, he actually says to the enemies in the land, they have to help the work. They have to contribute economically to it and give of their resources to keep the temple building going. And I just see that in the end, after Joshua and as Zerubbabel believed the word of the Lord and took heed to the encouragement from the prophets, all of a sudden God started working on their behalf and the floodgates started opening, and this work that God had promised, and it seemed impossible at the time. If you would have asked Joshua or Zerubbabel, do you think these enemies who are opposing you in the land are actually going to end up having to give you timber and stone to build the temple? I would have think they would have said there's no chance, but God was asking them to trust him. God was asking them to believe and obey, even in the face of not seeing how it could unfold and how it could work and how it could happen. God was saying, what you need to do is keep going. What you need to do is continue to serve me and obey me and continue to build. I will take care of the rest of it. My spirit will take care of the rest of seeing this project through. It's not going to be by your might or by your power. I will take care of it, Zerubbabel and Joshua, but you need to take heed and you need to build. And I was just really blessed and encouraged by reading through that chapter and just seeing simple ways to apply it to my own life and to say, you know what, I want to keep building. I want to keep going in the face of adversity, even if it may not seem like I'm doing a project as great as building a temple. As I face adversity, as I face things that want to discourage me, as I face things that make me want to say, you know what, this is an area in my life where I'm just always going to struggle. I'm always going to slip into discouragement here, or I'm never going to change. No, we need to keep building. We need to keep believing, and we need to know that it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And to the extent that the work that we're seeking to do, to the extent we're seeking, the change we're seeking is for God's glory and to see Jesus Christ working in our lives, to see us being conformed into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ, then we can be confident that the Lord is rejoicing to see it as well, that the Spirit of God is there observing it and seeing, and he does not despise it, even if it's small steps, even if it's one step forward and half a step back to see our own weakness. As long as we're continuing to move forward and to grow in the grace of God and to know that our destination is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, if we know that is the final capstone being laid on that temple and us saying it's all grace that's brought us here, as long as we know that's the project that God is working on ultimately, then the Spirit of God is with us saying, keep going, don't give up. Even if it seems small, even if you see your own weakness and your own failing, do not give up, keep going. God is with us and his Spirit is going to do it. It's not our might, our strength, but the Spirit of God is going to do it and complete it. Maybe I'll just pray and then I think Jason probably has some songs for us. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for just the instruction we've seen about repentance and true humility and coming to you with a heart that truly wants to change and sees its own shortcomings. I thank you for the encouragement from our brother Tim, Lord, and just walking with you, Lord, and being those who have a testimony that walked with you by walking in step with your Spirit. And I also just pray, Lord, that if there's some who could be encouraged by knowing, Lord, that you don't despise the small beginnings, but you want to continue to work in our lives. You want to continue to change us and conform us to your image, and that it's the work you've started, you will complete. And you've given us a part to play in this, Lord, to believe, to trust you, to continue to press forward, even when it feels like there we have no strength of ourselves to do it, but continue to believe and walk forward in you and know that you're doing a good work in our lives, and you will be glorified by the work of your Spirit. You will be glorified and you will conform us into your image, and your Holy Spirit will take away and allow us to overcome those areas in our lives where it feels like we are just incapable of. Your Holy Spirit is able and will bring about the grace in our lives to change us and conform us to your image. And I pray that in this coming week, Lord, we would remember that. When we see our shortcomings, we remember that and just cry out to you and see you working in our lives in great ways and in little ways, Father. Amen.